Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Third and 26, the snap. Tagovailoa has a pocket, guns it downfield, intercepted, picked up by Poyer at the 30-yard line, up to the 20, to the 15 along the far sideline, and wrestled out of bounds at the 11-yard line. Jordan Poyer makes the interception, seals the deal for the Buffalo Bills.
John Murphy on that call, reliving some Bills-Dolphins memories. The Micah Hyde onside kick touchdown.
Dolphins.
Yeah, okay.
That was against the Dolphins.
Making sure.
Yes, it was.
The spinning onside kick. Catching, yeah. Running, touchdown. Dolphins. All right. Maybe their last visit to Highmark Stadium? We think so. Joining us on the Wester Hotline is Mike Catalano. Look back on this series, this Bills-Dolphins series, and talk about the matchup tonight as well for Thursday Night Football. Mike of WHAM and Buffalo Plus on YouTube. We haven't spoken since training camp. Mike, always a pleasure. Great to have you back.
Oh, great to be on the show.
Well, let's start with the history of this series. Mike, you've covered the Bills forever. And, you know, the ebbs and flows, sorry, with respect, you know, we talk about that at training camp all the time. The ebbs and flows of this series, you know, like you had the Dolphins had their day, and then the Bills, of course, had theirs. And we are currently living in a spot where it feels like Miami is, I don't know, are they at a crossroads every time they play the Bills? Because this could be a kill shot kind of game and start the next era of what Bills Dolphins might ultimately be.
Yeah, I think it very much could be that. It's a mess down there. I was speaking with Will Manso, his sports director at Channel 10 in Miami. He's covered the team forever. And first of all, he said the fan base has basically checked out, and the Dolphins know this. They technically still sell tickets, a lot of empty seats, TV ratings are down, all that stuff. And all that stuff plays into it. They're just not a well-run football team. And, you think about what they have. You've got their talented player, Tyreek Hill. You've got their quarterback in Tua, and you got the coach. And they're on different pages. Hill's trying to say the right things to get his way out the door. Tua's a little lost. I think McDaniel, I shouldn't say this in this way, but I think he wants to be fired. He's going to be fired. Get me out of here now. So his reputation doesn't even take more of a hit. I think they're a mess, and I think the Bills may just push them through that door tonight.
Yeah, whenever you hear him speak, Mike, this could be tough to read into, but everything just kind of sounds like he just doesn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you very rarely are getting optimism, anything from a Miami press conference. In fact, the more they talk, McDaniel or Tua with the Allen comments this week, the more they kind of are stepping in it with their own fans.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's like culture. Everybody, sometimes people, you know, they go, oh, yeah, what's culture? Until, you know, you talk to Micah Hyde when he says when he came to Buffalo, he laughed because, well, we didn't have a culture. And they built that, right? And it's Buffalo. And, you know, what do they have in Miami? You know, sunshine and, can I say, palm trees down there? No culture. They don't. They have talent with nothing. They've almost, like, not taken the time to build that. And I'm saying this, like, they have had talented teams, good teams with opportunities to do something. And, well, the Bills on several occasions have taken them out of that, like the win down in Miami a few years ago. That was their shot, right? To win the division, all that, and they didn't do it. So, yeah, I think this – I'm with you. I don't see a light there. I don't see this team making a run. I mean, I think they'll put in effort tonight, but at the first sign when it's going bad, I think it'll go bad for them.
Yeah. Mike, when you think about this Bills team and where they are through 2 weeks, what about it? It's 2 weeks, so it might be a tough question, but what have you learned about them that has surprised you maybe through these first 2 weeks?
I would say I was surprised last week in just how dominant they were defensively, where it felt like, okay, I think they'll obviously be better. Baltimore's maybe one of one in what they put out there against the Bills. But I was impressed that they played the way they did last week. And that is, it's sort of been a strength of this team to find ways, even when guys are out. But I think that was fortunate for them. And the other thing is how, you know, it's Josh Allen and then the parts, right? The ways they do it offensively. I don't think you see flash at all. Yet you look down and you go, oh, there's 30-plus again. And then we shouldn't be surprised by that, but I've been pleasantly surprised at how they've done it without, you know, not anything tremendous out of Shakir, Josh not having to go crazy in the second game. I think they are a better version or potentially a better version of what we saw in total from last year and with an easier schedule this year. And that win against Baltimore early, I think this team can really go on some runs if they could, and especially if they get everybody back, because it's good to make up for guys like Milano and Ed Oliver when they're out. But I think you're going to need them for the tougher part of the schedule.
It's funny, like if you asked anybody 3 quarters into the opener, you might have some major concerns. The comeback win helps, and then the dominant win over the Jets. One thing that they've gotten better at, this is exactly something they had to focus on defensively, third down defense. The Jets went 0-for-11 on third down. I would say a lot of that's because of what the Bills did on first and second down as well. But I guess it comes down to how close to what they were against the Jets can they be against better teams. You know, maybe Miami's not that answer, maybe New Orleans, but the Bucs, right? The Bengals, if they're healthy, the Eagles, and the other playoff teams they'll eventually play when that time comes. Can they be a good enough defense where we're not at the end of the season saying, well, Josh did the thing and they let him down again?
Yeah, I think they can. They can be, and this is where I look at the schedule and say, boy, it kind of is doing them a favor, especially to escape the Baltimore game with a win, because it is giving them, when you look at it, a chance to ramp up a little bit. It should be, right? Tonight, on paper, should be. Next week should be, where you don't have to be perfect. To your point, it's good when you're against a team you should beat and you're dominant like they were last week. I don't know if you're going to get that every week. I don't know if you'll get that tonight, but it will help them. And then we'll see. What do they get from Ogunjobi when he comes in? And certainly Hoyt coming in to add to that. And Bosa, it's been very encouraging to see the way he's played. It makes such a difference when you have a guy doing what he's doing, and also recognizing, you know, McDermott's hinted at it and Bosa's said it too. Like, even he feels like he's got to be better on some of the early downs, because that's what they need. But it is great when a guy's in the backfield like that making plays for you.
Mike Catalano with us on the Wester Hotline. Mike, it's the last, it should be, the last game of Miami coming to the stadium. Obviously, so many years. I mean, there's a lot of top memories. How do you remember your first one, Bills and Dolphins at the stadium?
Not specifically the first regular season game. I remember the playoff game. I think it would have been, it was a divisional game in 91. And I have two big memories of Bills Dolphins. One was in Miami early, but it was, Kelly had been hurt, and he came back in that game. And it was just wild. I mean, he had missed a couple of games, and Jim threw for like 330 and 3 touchdowns. It was a little bit of snow. Bills outscored him like 44-34. Mm-hmm. So I remember, this is so funny. This is like, some of the Dolphins players had told Bruce, or said publicly that Bruce was soft against the run. And he was angry, and he liked talking about that after the game. I mean, it was just kind of funny. You know, it's like, do not call me soft. I mean, they gave up 34 points, but they dominated. And then the other one was in Miami. Again, Kelly coming back from injury, you know, from after the comeback game and then the win in Pittsburgh. And that defense dominated Marino. It took the ball away like 5 times in the AFC Championship game, and that was down in Miami, when they thought, we finally have these guys, and the Bills beat them. So, you know, most of that time, it has been, you know, that team dominated the Dolphins as great as they were with Marino. And now in this stretch, they've done it too. I mean, I can also talk about Rex in his last game with a disaster.
It
ended up being a great one for the Bills because it got them into the next stage, which is dominating Miami again.
That is the last time Miami has won in Buffalo, game.
Yeah, yeah.
That correct. What I remember about that,
was Rex playing for a tie, not knowing that a tie eliminated him? Was that the kind of thing we were looking at?
It was all, he punted late.
Yeah.
And gave Miami the ball back, and then they had
10 men on the field. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, some real, I always wonder what Rex, the ESPN guy, would be saying about Rex, the coach, for a game like that. But that was quite a way to go out. And against, isn't it something? Yeah. They haven't beaten the Bills at home since then. So that'll be something.
The Bills are the biggest favorite in the league this year so far. It's week 3, and this is the biggest spread of any team. So Bills favorite to beat Miami, of course. Mike, before we get on and let you go, you'd broken the news about Oak Hill getting the PGA Championship back in 2035, and that's, of course, great news. I don't know if they'd been targeting a little bit earlier. It's a 12-year gap, and the gap previously had been about 10 years. But either way, coming back to Rochester, and great news for Oak Hill, for Rochester, and for golf fans.
Yeah, and this was no given. I had talked to a lot of people involved over the past few years, really, from the time of the end of the one they just had in 23, and there was big concern whether it works. You know, there's always that thought about the weather. I think it's overblown a little bit. You know, you're taking out a lot of courses if you don't want to play somewhat in the Northeast, and it's not about necessarily the weather or the tournament. It's the weather for them to get the course ready for the tournament. They do a phenomenal job here. So I think they alleviated at least enough of that. And then there's always talk of, you know, market size and things like that for these events. It is highly competitive. It used to be they would announce, oh, they're coming to Rochester, and then the state and everybody would get involved. It's different now. Like, they're fighting to get them to show up in New York State. And I think the governor and the state, you know, between, you know, when you think of Bethpage and all these places, it's sort of part of the whole thing with the economic help, the PGA of America gets in this to set it up. So, yeah, we were able to get the story before it came out, which is always nice when it's around the corner from you. And I think it's great for here. And then, because we have the U.S. Amateur here in 2027, and then the women's U.S. Open in 37, which is the first ever women's tournament at Oak Hill. So they've got a lot going on during that period of time, but it is a pretty good stretch before we'll see the men's tour come back here to Rochester.
And had they been talking about trying to get a U.S. Open? Is that the kind of thing where you kind of have to pick your lane, what you're going to shoot for? Was the U.S. Open always a long shot, like a much longer shot?
I think they wanted it. I really do believe. Now, the first event I covered here, oh, you talk about years. First event I covered here was the 1989 U.S. Open, okay? So they've wanted to be an open course, and they had the U.S. Amateur after that. That's a USGA event, and now they're bringing that back. And if you're trying to look at the tea leaves, Jeremy, you go, wait a minute, you've got the U.S. Amateur and the Women's Open. It's almost like, hey, we're doing all this stuff. Can we get... But you see the way the Open is. Like, most of the slots for the Open are filled. Like, it's crazy. It goes into the 2050s. So it's very limited, and I think the USGA has their spots, and Oak Hill's not on it. So they're fortunate, though. They're still in the mix with the PGA of America, and they've got that event coming back, and they're doing all kinds of renovations at Oak Hill and all, too. So I think they think there's still more down the road, but... I'll put it to you this way. I'm not covering 35. Okay, I may go with a beer, but I am not covering the 2035 PGA.
And, of course, this week, memories of the 95 Ryder Cup at Oak Hill, which was...
I mean, you're tremendous.
Yeah. Mike, you're also... Are you coming to town soon? You mentioned to me you're coming to town in October.
Yeah, you know, we do our Buffalo Plus podcast. We're doing a lot of appearances. It's like we're on tour here. But Buffalo River Works, Thursday, October the 9th. So Jenna Cottrell, Dan Fates, and myself will go there. We're doing sort of an event there from like 5 to 7, then doing our Buffalo Plus podcast at 7 o'clock. So I've heard great things about the place. I have not been there, so we're going to be there. So if people want to come out, talk Bills, listen to the podcast October the 9th.
All right, very good. Mike Catalana, WHAM, and Buffalo Plus on YouTube on the Bills and Dolphins. Enjoy the game tonight, Mike. Pleasure as always.
All right, thanks. All right, take care, guys.
All right. A little golf, a little football. We are in fall golf season.
I went yesterday and saw multiple trees that are starting to turn.
Yeah.
Getting some red on them and some orange.
Jonathan in Batavia. Hey, Jonathan, good morning.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey, Joe. Thanks for the show. Talking about Bills, Dolphins memories. I did attend the game that Rex Ryan got fired at, but my first two Bills games I ever attended was in 2006 and 2007, both against Miami. On both occasions, I won tickets through Genesee Community College. And then 2006, they won 21-0. And then 2007, they won 38-17. So about the same point of the season, both very similar thing. And those are my first two Bills games, plus into the game that Rex Ryan got fired. So those are the Bills memories.
Thanks, Jonathan. The Rex Ryan got fired game, I'm looking at it here. So it's 31-31 in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
And the story of this game, if I remember correctly, the Bills dropped to they are 7-8.
Mm-hmm. They're not going to make the playoffs.
I'm pretty sure I really thought part of the lore of this was you lose with a tie.
Yeah.
Like you're eliminated with a tie.
And you still had an outside shot if you had won.
You cannot tie. And they punted to Miami with 4:09 left in overtime on a fourth and two.
Fourth and two.
At their own 41. So fourth and two at their own 41.
Egregious.
With 4:09 to go. And on the first play after that punt is the Jay Ajayi 57-yard run to the Bills 28.
With 10 men in the field.
Yes.
The Bills had 10 men in the field.
Yeah.
Brutal. And then he's gone the next day.
Memories.
Right? He's fired the next day.
Anthony
Lynn coaches the last game of that season, I believe.
Yeah, that's right.
So, and that's the last Dolphins win. So long ago.
Jay Ajayi is the running back for the Dolphins. Who's the quarterback of that game? The Bills lose to get eliminated from playoff contention to which Dolphins quarterback?
It's not Tannehill?
It is not Ryan Tannehill.
All right, well, if it's not Tannehill, then it's probably Matt Moore.
Correct. It is Matt Moore.
Is that the year he started a playoff game for them?
He
started a game in Pittsburgh.
Because Miami goes to 10-5 with that win.
Okay. And then you can go find it on YouTube if you want. Matt Moore, a couple weeks after that Bills game, took the biggest hit in that playoff game that I've ever seen a quarterback take. Like, him and the defender shot off the screen. You couldn't even see the end of it because it was such a hard hit. So, yeah. Matt Moore. Matt Moore and David Fales, everybody.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks of the Dolphins. Jay Cutler starting a game against the Bills for the Dolphins.
Anytime you mention
weird quarterbacks,
all of these quarterbacks that are on the trash heap of quarterbacks for a franchise, that's the alternate side of the how are you going to pay Tua? The answer is because if you don't pay Tua, you might end up in that spot. And I understand you want a Josh Allen, you want to chase a Josh Allen. Everybody loves to say, oh, just bail on it and get somebody new. Now might be Miami's time to actually try and do that after this year. But you get somebody in the middle, and you're a GM. I don't know that there are many GMs that would just say, like, oh, no, I'll just be 4-13 as long as it takes till I find, you know, Josh Allen. It's tough. It's tough business. How many quarterbacks are actually worth hitching your wagon to? Is it 7? Would you say fewer than that?
I'd say a dozen.
A dozen.
A dozen.
Give me a 12.
All right.
The 12,
Allen,
you think it is totally reasonable to hitch your full wagon to?
Allen,
Mahomes, Jackson.
Yep. Burrow.
Burrow.
I would say that about Justin Herbert.
Okay.
I would say that about Jordan Love, Jalen Hurts.
You would say that about Hurts.
I would say it about Hurts. Yeah, he's good. I wouldn't put him at the top. But
yeah, and he's won a Super Bowl.
Yep. I would say that about Jared Goff right now.
Ooh.
I would say that about... That's 8.
You need 4 more. Jaden Daniels, you would say that.
Jaden Daniels.
You'd say that already.
Definitely about Jaden Daniels already.
You wouldn't say it about Drake May yet.
Nope. Not about Drake May. Certainly wouldn't say it about Caleb Williams.
You would say it about Trevor Lawrence?
No.
Can I tell you, I saw something about Trevor Lawrence yesterday that was...
Stafford,
okay.
I do that.
You're at 10?
That's 10. I would do a Baker, for sure. Hitch, I'm all in on Baker. I would love Baker if he was my team's quarterback.
I think a lot of people would love Baker. The question is, can he win? Also, he lost a guard. Like
that whole line is destroyed because they played with two backup tackles on Sunday.
Right. The Bucs season might come undone by their offensive line getting hurt.
I mean, like 11. Tua's below the line for
sure. That's probably.
And not all of those guys are going to be like MVPs. But
no,
like,
I mean, most of them won't, and most of them won't make a Super Bowl.
But those are quarterbacks where like I would pay them. Anyone else, like, I would rather move on and try my luck at something else. I think the Niners have a decision to make with Purdy on this. He's great, but see Mac Jones in that offense? Looks just as good. Looks the exact same. The line moved, with the news that Purdy might play this week, the line moved half a point.
They already paid Purdy. The decision's been made.
That's right.
One other thing. So anyway, I mentioned the thing about Trevor Lawrence. We'll get to Chris Brown on the other side. Brett Coleman wrote this about Lawrence, who was supposed to be, stop me if you've heard this before, a generational prospect, the best prospect.
Yep.
He's like the Andrew Luck. He wrote about the Jags, Brett Coleman of Underdog Fantasy and the Bootleg Podcast. He does great stuff on every team. The thing that frustrates me the most about the Jags is how almost good Trevor Lawrence is. He's not bad, but he's not enough. And you may have seen it this week. Liam Cohen and Lawrence in a on-field dispute because Cohen says, hit him in the chest. He's telling his quarterback, ball placement. I feel like I can remember Chris Brown over the years. We're talking about other quarterbacks. Like ball, it's not just getting the pass to the receiver. It's ball placement.
Mm-hmm.
And Coleman writes, Liam is doing what he can to ease the burden, but there's only so much he can do when his quarterback can't put the ball exactly where he wants to. You have a really good quarterback that isn't accurate enough. Not good enough. Lawrence, he's not bad. He's not enough. And wouldn't that make sense? You've got some film watchers that say, no, he can do a lot of things, but the ball's just not where it needs to be. He might be the guy that misses every putt by an inch, but sorry, you're not on the tour. You got to make it. I was close.
And they gave him a $275 million contract.
Yep. And that offense is not working the way it's supposed to right now. Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, they're not putting up the numbers that are worthy of those investments they made.
Would you rather have Trevor Lawrence or Caleb Williams right now?
Oh, wow. I do have a stat for you on the Lions and the Bears.
I think I'd rather have Lawrence.
Do you know when...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
When Ben Johnson took over and got the job with Jared Goff and was the offensive coordinator, they started 1-6.
Wait, one more time?
Ben Johnson... They're 1-6 with Goff. The difference is, in those six losses, Goff and the offense consistently put up 25 to 30 points and still lost.
They had the worst defense
in the league. There were signs of life.
Yeah.
And right now, with Ben Johnson and the Bears, they've got a long way to go. Tyson Bagent.
Caleb's rising on that first quarterback bench odds list.
There's our bet board. You want to bet Tyson Bagent starts a game for them and Williams is benched? I would bet that. Bagent gets a start.
This
year. Bagent.
All right, I'll bet that. I think they move on from Williams, but I don't think it's going to be that
quick. All right.
I don't think it's going to be that quick.
$5 bet board. I'm on the Tyson Bagent train. Chris Brown, when we return here on a Buffalo Bills football Thursday-ish. It's Jeremy and Joe in WGR.
It's a pitch to the right side to Mostert, and he swarmed under, fumble on the play, and the Bills have the football! Holy moly!
Remembering some great moments in Bills-Dolphins history at Highmark Stadium, as it could be, likely will be, the last time the Dolphins come to town. Chris Brown joining us on the Western Hotline ahead of this game tonight. It's a Thursday night football game. You can, of course, catch the game here on WGR, and Chris will have the call with Eric Wood and Sal Capaccio on the sideline. Chris, good morning. Happy Miami week, Miami day. It's a it's an interesting one. It's the biggest spread in the league this year. So, you know, Bills coming in heavy favorites and against a team that they always seem to have good fortunes against.
Yeah, scoring points not really a problem for the Bills against this team. I just don't think the Bills are a great matchup for the Dolphins, and they certainly haven't been over the last couple of years. And they've got a lot of problems that they're trying to fix right now here to start the season. I mean, they looked like they were dead on arrival in Indianapolis in week one. Last week, I think their offense gained a little bit of traction and started to get back to looking like the offense we've been accustomed to seeing with Tua and company there as that game wore on against the Patriots. But they've got a lot of problems on both sides of the ball, and I don't know that the fixes are coming anytime soon.
What the Bills' defense, Chris, what do you expect from this game? They obviously give up the giant performance to Baltimore. They stopped the Jets from doing anything last week. And the Miami matchup has been a lot of the Bills dominating the Dolphins, but there have been these decent performances by the Dolphins offensively sprinkled in along the way. So I guess how far one way or the other do you expect the Bills defense to look today between dominant and what, you know, week one looked like?
Yeah, I think if you look at the game last year, you know, here against the Dolphins, it went right down to the wire, took a 61-yard field goal for the Bills to win it. I thought that was probably the best collective effort we've seen from Miami, you know, in this series with Coach McDaniel as head coach for Miami. So that was everything that the Dolphins could throw at them and then some, and the Bills still somehow find a way to win. I don't think it's going to be that close here tonight, but Devon Achane, I think, is now the unofficial number one catalyst of this offense. And he's been a bit of a thorn in the side of the Bills, 6 touchdowns in 4 career games. I think he's got a couple of games with over 100 all-purpose yards. And really, with the way that defenses, at least at the outset of this season, have tried to clog up the middle of the field, knowing that's where the Dolphins' passing game thrives, it's been on Achane to kind of get yards out in the horizontal areas of the field, you know, in the flats and on swing passes and things of that nature, because Tua, you know, he doesn't have elite arm talent, so throwing outside the numbers is not his forte, and that's what defenses have been trying to force him to do here through the first 2 weeks. I would expect the Bills to follow suit and play their typical top-down defense, try to clog up the middle of the field and force them to try to attack Buffalo horizontally. How much success they'll have, we'll have to wait and see. I think the pass rush has a chance to be effective tonight, especially with 2 backups on the right side of the offensive line for the Dolphins.
You know, with Tua, he's taken a bunch of sacks this year, and you know the Bills have been a little more aggressive with their blitz numbers this year. I wonder, Chris, if they do that, if they do more of that. We've seen them be very aggressive and, you know, hit Tua early in games, hit him a lot. He suffered injuries in Bills games, you know, maybe not coincidentally as well. But I would imagine it's not just about the pressure that they're going to get from maybe Bosa, but corner blitz is something we saw them use a bit in New York against the Jets as well.
Yeah, and look, I think what Buffalo has done defensively against Tua that has proven effective year after year is they do their best to take away his first read on a play. And as soon as you have Tua patting the ball and having to make a second reaction play, that is not a strength of his. So they try to make him a second reaction player instead of just drop back, rhythm, throw the football. They try to force him to second and third options. That's when the pass rush has a chance to get home. And that's what I think has made Buffalo's defensive game plan so effective against Miami over the last few years. So hopefully they can duplicate that in some form or fashion again tonight.
What do you think the Bills will look like offensively? I mean, it could really just be how they do it. I mean, the expectation that they could score a lot of points is there. And this Miami defense, Chris, like, it's been called like one of the worst secondaries we've seen in years. And now they're missing Melifonwu and Storm Duck, who have both played some on the defensive side of the football this year. So an already shorthanded, or maybe a weak secondary, is going to be even more shorthanded.
Yeah, and the pass rush on the front end has not helped them. You know, we hear Coach McDermott say all the time how they want to marry the rush and the coverage, and that has been completely disjointed for the Dolphins, too. I mean, they certainly have pass rushing talent. Chop Robinson's not 100%. He's entering the game questionable tonight, so we'll have to see where that lands. And then Jalen Phillips, I don't think he has all his explosion back after his injury, season-long injury last year. Bradley Chubb looks pretty good out of the chute here. He's got two sacks in his first two games. So he's a guy to be mindful of. But, yeah, the secondary can be had. And I'm very curious to see what Buffalo's approach is at the outset here. Do they let Josh open it up and start throwing? Or do they kind of go with the same approach we saw them take last week, which is just pound this team into submission? It's interesting, guys, because Steve and I had a poll on our show yesterday. How do you expect the Bills to attack the Dolphins? And we just did a poll, run game, pass game, it doesn't matter. And it doesn't matter was the overwhelming winner.
Yeah.
Because I think Bills fans have seen, like, in the first 2 weeks, you rely on Josh's arm, you score 41 points, and you win. You rely on the run game and going power football against the Jets, and you put 30 up. So I think the Bills fans are supremely confident that the Bills are going to be able to do whatever they want on offense tonight.
Yeah, I wonder, Bills fans might too, Chris, want to see, like, if the game was going like the Jets game was last week, where you're running the ball great and you know you got this one in the bag, and the Bills kind of go on to cruise control in that second half, if fans might have the appetite to just see, you know what, just keep throwing the ball all over them. You know, like, run it up a little bit more in Miami. It's the last time they're at the stadium. But on the other hand, like, last year in Miami, that's a game where Allen didn't have to do much at all because Cook kept breaking off giant runs.
Yeah, and they were getting turnovers and extra possessions because they were getting pressure on Tua. And you see that, we've seen that Tua before, right? Like, that panicked look Tua where he just heaves the ball to the sideline and it's picked off. I mean, Jamarcus Ingram with two picks last year, so one that he returned for a touchdown. And let's not forget this too, guys. The Dolphins had like three or four turnovers on downs in that game as well in week two, which was also a Thursday night game, by the way. And I think that at this point, the Dolphins have struggled mightily in the area of short yardage on offense. And I still don't think they have a fourth down conversion through two games this year. So short yardage has been a perennial problem for them. And with a revamped offensive line that really doesn't have its bearings yet, I'm not optimistic that that's fixed either.
Chris Brown-Hill, the call of the game tonight. Bills and Dolphins Thursday Night Football, and then an extended week. And then the hottest ticket in town, Chris, 1 p.m. Saints. I mean, I don't know if the Saints know.
It's so weird.
The Saints don't know yet, but they are the hottest ticket in town. Getting a ticket to that game is the Sunday 1 o'clock slate grows slim with this current stadium, so that'll be a fun one.
So you're saying the demand is more for the time of day than
I think
so.
I mean,
there
it
could be, maybe there's a Alvin Kamara, you know, farewell tour that I don't know about.
No, it's gotta be just, it's a 1 o'clock Sunday, nice weather game, and everyone would expect the Bills to roll.
Yep.
That's gotta be it, I think.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's during elite season.
True.
Very good.
Indeed. Yes. Thanks, Chris.
Yeah. All right, take care.
Chris Brown, he'll have the call of the game tonight here on WGR, and we'll chat with him post-game as well. You know, Bills and Dolphins.
Yeah, Thursday will make it a...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I like when they play on Thursday because I do like just sitting back and Sunday, just like, well, give me quad box, Sunday ticket, and red zone on another screen, and just give me everything.
It does make a regular weekend feel like a long weekend. You'll just be hanging out on Sunday. Like, this is a free day.
Right, right.
All right, we'll get a break in. We've got to go quad box at some point today because Callie Joe, also known as Joe Callie, producing today, is wearing the Bills rivalry uniform. You got a Bills Josh Allen rivalry uniform.
The good one.
Yeah. The higher end one. Listen, you can have an upper end or lower end, whichever you want. It's all good. Get what's right for you. But we're going to take a good look at this thing.
Yeah.
No promotional photo. We're going to get a good look. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. What else coming up today? Our fantastic four-way parlay.
Yes.
I'm tempted to put
I'm 2-0. Come on, guys.
Can I tell you I'm
2-0, and this guy's got like a 1,000-to-1 shot right in the holster for
I'm saying this. Jackson Hawes' last touchdown is a great idea.
It's a great idea. Do we need it in our parlay, though? Is a different question. You can put it in there if you want.
I mean, Jackson Hawes' last touchdown.
I'll tell you, I'm going to bet it whether it's in
he's
a parlay
got a,
or
he's
not.
Got a
I
catch.
Do like it.
He's got a catch in each game. He came close. They're going to want to get this guy a touch. They want to reward him for
being PFF's number one highest graded tight end through 2 weeks in the NFL.
Yeah. I'm not betting him rookie of the year, Joe. Just, you know, last touchdown.
What would he have to do to win rookie of the year?
Can you imagine? This man blocked everyone.
He really was the best blocking tight end ever, and he caught 12 touchdowns. Could he do it?
803-0550 to join us on WGR.
Ian Rappaport just reporting that Jalen Waddle tonight will go through a pregame workout. He is hopeful to play tonight.
Okay. First thing Jalen Waddle has to do is ditch his touchdown dance and get a better one.
What?
The Waddle is it's bad.
Why?
It is bad. Your name
is specific
Waddle.
To him.
Congratulations. Yeah. Your touchdowns look lamer because of your celebration. 100%.
No, I got to ditch
it. It's got to go ASAP.
He's the only one that can do it.
He's the only one that should have the awareness to not do it.
That's why he doesn't score touchdowns anyway. He's got 3 touchdowns in the last 2 years.
He set the NFL rookie record for receptions in a season. Didn't he do that? Or get like 99?
104?
104.
Maybe, is that the record?
Maybe it wasn't a record.
Every year has been a decline since then.
Yeah.
Look, here's targets by year. 140 to 117 to 104 to 83. Just a precipitous drop. Year by year. And isn't it just injuries are stacking up? He's always hurt.
He is.
And maybe he is the number two. Like, would he look... Would he be a top 10 receiver if he was like the number one on a really good offense?
Oh, yeah, he's legit. There's no doubt about that.
But he's the second target on an offense that's still trying to figure out how to get back to what they were.
And super on script and all that.
Right.
803-0550 to join us and 1-888-550-2550. Sabres back to it on Monday. Kevin Adams and Lindy Ruff both spoke yesterday. Any quick thought on what we heard?
Not that this is surprising. This was clearly their intention all off season, but man, they are putting all their eggs in the we're going to stop teams from scoring basket. Didn't sound worried about their ability to score goals. When Matt Bove asked Kevin Adams about, hey, like, where might those goals come to replace one of your best offensive players leaving the lineup? And Adams' quote was, honestly, I'm more worried about our ability to stop other teams from scoring. So
yeah,
they're just trusting that Tage and Tuck and Norris are going to carry the load and they're going to score enough goals and their defense is going to get way better, which I think is I would not just assume they're going to score goals like they did last year. But maybe they're going to have a better power play, in my opinion, for that to happen. And every time the power play came up, every time that came up, like Norris was the guy that they were citing. Lindy especially. Like, how are we going to score? Norris. We have a healthy Norris in our top six. And like that's he's fine, but that's a flimsy plan for a guy that can't play more than 60 games in a season.
They, of course, uttered the hard-to-play-against line, which
yep,
that's been pretty much a desire throughout the entire drought. The whole thing.
Yep.
The whole thing starts with the drafting of Ristolainen and Zadorov, and at the draft table, the words are uttered. You want to be harder to play against?
Mm-hmm.
The entire drought is a pursuit of that. This might be one of the times they actually kind of need that instead of scoring because they have scored a lot lately. Scoring's not a problem. So it's the same message.
Well, it hasn't been a problem.
Yeah.
But will it now?
It's a good question.
You just took one of your best 5-on-5, maybe even arguably your best 5-on-5 scorer out of the lineup.
Yeah.
Not the best. Tage led the league in even strength goals last year.
And you had a lot of it. So you flipped something that you were good at to try and get better and get more balance. The one thing I would wonder, you know, keeping the puck out of the net, man, you're doing it, and your number one goalie who has been shaky is maybe not available. You're rolling into a season with Levi, Georgiev, and Lyon, and the goal is we got to keep more out of the net. But again, they want to do it with better defensive play. So the point would be that they think they can do that. So
yeah, I mean, it's not a guarantee at all, but I'm actually more optimistic for their goaltending than I've been in past years. Like, Lyon has been better in the last three seasons than any three seasons of a Sabres goalie during the whole drought.
How do we like the way the season starts? Rangers, Bruins, Avalanche, Senators, Panthers.
Rangers, Bruins, Avalanche, Senators, Panthers. I mean, the Avalanche and the Panthers being in there isn't necessarily appealing. A lot of those are home games, aren't they?
They're home for the Rangers, home for the Avalanche, home for the Senators, home for the Panthers.
To one road game in the first week. They should win. How many games did you just rattle off? Is that six?
I gave you the first five.
First five?
Rangers, Sabres, Avalanche, Senators,
would
Panthers.
You take 3-1-1? Absolutely. That's a dream, right?
Would you take
3-2?
Would you take 0-0-5?
Get out of here with that question.
5 points.
If they're 0-0-5.
What? Then they have bad luck in shootouts. Or overtime. Hey, one very quick thing I saw on the Leafs.
Okay.
Unintentionally funny thing about the Leafs. I made a point to favorite this to get to it. So these things go hand in hand sometimes. And what was it this time? I read that the Leafs, they're ready to have more fun this year. And that there's a lighter mood around the Leafs. And I would just like to point out how often that is paired with people don't expect you to be as good.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's feeling great.
I don't expect them
no
to be as
one
good.
Thinks we're going to win the cup now because we lost a 100-point player and,
uh-huh.
And more than that.
If it carries over, they had a lot of bad numbers last year for what they were at 5-on-5, and you didn't notice because they were second in the league in save percentage. Quietly, they were a team that was carried by goaltending.
Yeah. Hmm. Be interesting. And there was one other piece about that Leafs thing I wanted to get to, but we got a break. We'll get a break in. When we get back, Quad Box, we're going to check out this Rivalries jersey. We'll get your calls on Dolphins memories. It's Football Thursday, Bills and Dolphins tonight here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.